I would just like to read a short word before we pray from Hebrews chapter 12, right from verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Up to here, this precious word, Paul is addressing his contemporaries, and he gives them the exhortation to the people of God. Today it applies to us, especially as it is written in verse 3, for consider him, that we should remember him at all times, in every situation, in every circumstance. For we see that it is written of him, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And we too, dear brothers and sisters, should do the same, however it comes, so that we do not grow weary, so that we do not become complacent, but that we look up and remember him, how he laid the way for us, right up to the cross of Calvary. He looked at nothing. He went the way that was prepared for him. He could have chosen another, but he chose this one, so that you and I could be redeemed, so that we could be saved through him. He went. He suffered the death of the cross, despising the shame. Praise and thanks. And then it says, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we too want to persevere, patiently persevere in whatever may come, no matter what people may say. He also didn't look at what the scribes, the Pharisees, all the people were saying. He didn't give a damn. He knew what he had come to do, and he went his way. I thought about it. Dear brothers and sisters, God has given us grace. The Lord has chosen us, made us his own people, so that we too should be like him. And a songwriter sings, I want to be like Jesus. We want to become like him in all things on this earth. And then think of him again and again, of all that he has achieved for us, how he went and what was done to him. If this has been done to him, beloved, it will not fail to happen to us in these days. May God help us all. Yes. And then Paul also says here, and he introduces us, all the men of God, a great cloud of witnesses. If we read a chapter earlier, all these men are named, all listed by name, perhaps not even all of them, but a great many who persevered in the Word of God and listened to what God spoke to them. And so we too must listen to what God has spoken to us. We cannot listen to what people say, otherwise we are lost. Otherwise we will be put to shame. But let us look to Him, to the author and finisher of our faith. He has not yet changed. He is still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Let us also lift up His name tonight and ask Him to continue to speak to us through His precious and holy word. And I believe He has never let us down so far. He has always given us the right food and the right drink. And so let us ask Him to bless us again tonight from the riches of His grace. Let us rise for this. Heavenly Father, we thank You together for this evening hour and for this gathering. Lord, we are so glad to be gathered here again to offer honor and praise to Your name. Yes, Lord, we want to think of You all the time, what You have accomplished for us, what You did for us on the cross of Calvary. Yes, also what You have done for us in these days, for great things You have done. Mightily You have made Yourself known. And Lord, You have revealed what was hidden, O Lord. And You have opened many hearts and opened many minds, Lord, so that they may understand Your call and Your beckoning in our days. Faithful God, we thank You also this evening. We are so glad, Lord, that we may be Your people, Your chosen ones, whom You called and chose before the foundation of the world. Faithful God, we worship You and ask You to continue to bless us today. Bless all who have come and also all who cannot be here today, who are still away on vacation or wherever they may be at work. Bless all, Lord, is our prayer. Bless all Your people everywhere, in all places, in all lands, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen. Sometimes, when we look into this world, we think that people are in charge. And when they speak, it seems as if half the world is listening. But one day, the whole world will hear. Today the West hears what the strongest man in the West says, and the East hears what the strongest man in the East says, and others don't hear at all, no matter who is speaking. But one day, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And as Lord, He is God. And as God, He is over all. He was before all things, and will be when all things have fallen into ruin and become new again. The Lord will stand as the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can be glad that we are on the side of the victor. After all, He has won. You all know, in war, there are sometimes people who are always there when they can, when victory is in sight. That's the best place to be. But with God, victory is already a fait accompli. Everything is subject to Him. And Paul writes, it does not yet appear that all things are subject to him. But when the last enemy, death, shall be subject to him, then the word will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is thy sting? Hell, where is thy victory? Of course, I have been moved by many things since the weekend, and especially since the meeting in Zurich. I am aware that we are beginning a new phase, or rather that God is beginning it. The revelation of the Word must and will have to be followed by a revelation of the power of God. There is no other way. God stands by His Word. He keeps His promises. And when we have realized that God has a plan, namely with us, with you and with me, that we have been included in this plan of God, that we are an integral part of the kingdom of God, then God will not bypass us in what He is doing, but with us and through us, as it was at the beginning of the church, the Lord will bring His counsel to fulfillment. God must be proved right in everything, because He is right. Every word of God is absolute truth. And so the thought occurred to me, who is man actually? Who are you and what am I? What are we? And I had to say, the Lord was the first to introduce the death penalty. The day you eat of it, you will die. So, death has penetrated to all people. And who has to reckon with a death penalty? When we hear an earthly court, minor offenses are never punishable by death. There has to be a major offense if capital punishment is to be considered at all. The fall into sin, disobedience, transgression, and all that goes with it was such a crime before God. He has decreed the death penalty for all mankind. And there is no one who can escape this judgment of God. And then we read of our Lord that He was numbered among the transgressors and took the death penalty upon Himself and died for us on the cross of Calvary, has died as the sinless one for us criminals. You may say, Brother Frank, is that really so? Yes. In the eyes of God, we have all actually received the death penalty. Or do you think there is someone on earth who would not be a criminal in the eyes of God? Then he can go on living as long as he wants. And that is not possible. Death has come to all people. But there are people among these people who have received eternal life, who have recognized that our punishment was laid on Him, and that we have received eternal life through faith in our Lord and Savior. I believe that God has given us so much grace, and we do not exaggerate, that we have been allowed to remain sober, that we have anchored our roots in the Word of God. And as Paul also writes to the Hebrews, that we have anchored our anchor even beyond the veil. We have not peddled individual scriptures or Bible verses, but have let the whole testimony of the Holy Scripture apply and speak to us. And we believe that God has a multitude in whom He will reveal Himself, people, as we have already heard, even the singers have emphasized, ye must be born again. And the thought that came to me completely new, now on Sunday, that the new birth can only happen through divine seed, namely through the seed of the Word. And as long as there was a religious mixture, bastards were born. It was a mixture, and none of us can stay out of reach. We have to agree with God. But since the purity of the Word is now here, and the seed of the Word is available, it can penetrate our souls and bring forth something new by the grace of our God. And we believe this with all our hearts. It was like this in the beginning, and the apostles wrote it down. Peter, for example, writes here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Jesu Christi erweisen,
whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. What a precious and marvelous word. Before the end of this chapter, the following words are written from verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Perhaps I will read also the next verse, because the end of the verse is important. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the summary of the gospel. We, as human beings, are compared here to grass, because all flesh, including you and me, and we only need to take a look around an old people's home, a nursing home, and it would do everyone, from childhood onwards, however young they may be, it would do good to take a look at how people who were once young, healthy and strong are approaching their end. Nothing on earth is as certain for all living people as death. We all know that. And you can see that a flower is marvelous. Even when you look at the roses, oh, they have a blaze of color, and you smell on it, the fragrance is there, and suddenly they are no more. They blossom, and the wind blows over them, the sun comes on them, and they are gone. Here it is written, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. All earthly splendor, the splendor of your body and mine, especially the young ladies and sisters, right, when they are young, they like to look in the mirror, and they see themselves, and they like everything so much. And then the time comes when the tide turns. The hair starts to turn gray. You want to postpone it all a little. Maybe even cover it up. It can't be denied. Suddenly, everything changes completely. The glory of all flesh is like that of grass and flowers. And when you, we have seen it now, especially in Israel, this blaze of color, all have taken beautiful pictures. And if we were to go there today, there would be nothing left. Everything would have dried up. only the memory would remain. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. There are people who have taken into this mortal shell, into this mortal body, something immortal, namely the Word of God. And through this, they have been immortalized. That is, they have received eternal life. Here it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And therefore, we have eternal life through the grace of our God. Then, in verse 25, which is particularly important to us, it says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God is also the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even the prophets of the Old Testament, and we can also read this from this letter of Peter, they have said, and it has been written down from verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Even the prophets of the Old Testament prophesied of the grace, and we have received it, but they will not go away empty-handed. They will be in the kingdom of God, just as we are. And it says in Hebrews that they could not reach perfection without us, and they are just waiting for us to join them. Perhaps we should read the last verse of Hebrews 11, where the heroes of faith are listed. And here it says, in the last two verses, Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They will reach perfection, but not without us. They wait until the full number of the New Testament church has entered. And then, what our Savior Himself said will be fulfilled. In that day, you will sit down in the kingdom of God with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this will happen. Imagine that you and I are to sit at the great table in the kingdom of God with all the prophets, with all the men of God, indeed with our Lord. How will we feel? Let me tell you, even Abraham and the greatest servants of God will all be there by grace alone. And not one will be able to boast of his advantage, and not one will be able to complain of his disadvantage. All stand on the same foundation, and all have been redeemed by the same blood. And when we read Matthew 27, when the Lord shed the blood on Calvary and proclaimed, "It is finished," yes, there was an earthquake, the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many saints who slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Also that verse, verse 51 and 52, must also be read slowly and carefully in order to understand the sequence exactly. Here we are told that they were not to reach perfection without us, even though they all bore the glorious testimony of faith and would have liked to see perfection. No, they had to wait until their time and our time had come. Here, I had one more word that I wanted to read in connection with the opening word, for our Lord also suffered many things. He endured it. And we believe that it is He who helps us in all our trials, because He had to go through them Himself. And of the sinners, as we've read, He had to patiently endure it. I have just read a word in the letter of Peter that was spot on. Perhaps it is here, in 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, from verse 20. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And if we want to go back to the prophecy given to Simeon, you can read it in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, here it says, Luke chapter 2, from verse 34. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. The fact that he was contradicted, as we have all read, that he had to endure everything, as it is written in Hebrews 12, it has already been predicted. When it says here in Hebrews 12, verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." They contradicted him and even covered his head and struck him, then took it off again and said, "You prophesied so nicely. Now tell us, who was it who struck you?" And he didn't do anything. He didn't make a fist in his pocket. He endured everything. Let us be honest. We would certainly burst a gut. Let us be honest. But here, our Lord has left us an example. And imagine how we feel, how he must have felt, the Lord of glory, the King of kings, who came to save, to redeem, to seek what was lost, to rescue, to bring grace and salvation, and had to watch and experience for himself what is written in John 1, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." We cannot even imagine the pain. We already feel a deep ache in our hearts. How might he have felt? But here, Simeon had prophesied, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." And then Paul could only make the statement, just as Simeon had prophesied, so it was. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." If someone contradicts you, contradicts me, and tells us this or that, well, we are all human. And I said earlier, the death penalty has been imposed on us anyway, and we all know what that means. Not one is exempt, but he, our Lord, the Holy One. "For consider him." May God write this word in my heart, that I remember him, my Savior. Why should my way as a redeemed child of God be different from the way of my Savior, who paid the price? There must be a similarity with the way of the Lord. And the Holy Scriptures say in the Sermon on the Mount, "Woe to you when the whole world speaks well of you." But, of course, you can also understand that if there was a Christian press every day, my name would be in the headlines with news stories every day. And that's not an easy thing. But when I read here now, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, couldn't our Lord have told everyone who he is, what he is? Could he not have taken everyone apart so that there would have been nothing left? And as a result, everyone would not have had to leave, beaten with the words of the Lord, convicted of sin, punished by the Spirit of God? No, they did not recognize him. The Spirit of God must open a person's heart. The Lord of glory has not been able to save anyone unless he came and allowed himself to be saved. And that's why it is written, "Come unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." And salvation was to come from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. For consider him, I will remember it. It is a word that speaks to me personally. Yes, consider him. We then consider ourselves and turn around ourselves and say, "Yes, Lord, why all this?" If we think of him, we will certainly succeed better to stand firm and say, "Lord, then this is part of your word at this time." Who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And now comes the meaning and purpose of this considering of him in the context of his suffering and what he endured. "Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Isn't that a marvelous word? When we think of ourselves and our circumstances, we almost sink. If we look at him, think of him, and say, "Yes, Lord," then what I hear and experience is still very small in comparison. So, I thank you that you give me strength to persevere so that I do not grow weary and lose heart. And so it says in the prophet Isaiah, "He will not cry out in the street, nor lift up his voice, but he will not break a bruised reed, nor quench a smoking flax, until he has brought forth justice and righteousness for the nations." And that is it. All things in the kingdom of God have their place. "Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." You all know, he came to the people of Israel, to his covenant people, his own people, and they did not recognize him. And I already know today, when what the prophet Zechariah wrote will be fulfilled, that they will look upon the Lord, whom they have pierced, and weep bitterly. You can read it, Zechariah 12. Here it is, in verse 10. "And they shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day they shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him." Zechariah 12, verse 10. I believe that the Lord God is bringing his work to completion in these days. I believe that we have a part to play in this divine counsel. the good as well as the bad. Joy and sorrow are very closely connected. It goes over the highs and it goes through the lows, but it goes with God. And if we, like our Lord, and as we will also see many times in the future, have heard and believed the promises of God for this time, then the Lord should come into His own in us, just as He Himself was manifested in the flesh at that time, when the summary of all the promises of the Old Testament found their fulfillment. And we know that when the time was fulfilled, one thing was fulfilled after the other. The same will be true now. The time has come. Everything will be fulfilled, just as God has said in His Word. We only have one task left: to thank Him, and on the one hand to recognize that we as human beings are in earthly terms like the grass and like the flower in the field. We blossom, we wither, and then one day we are no longer here. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And that is the word we have heard, the gospel of our salvation. Not just a word of God, but the word of God in connection with our salvation, with our rescue. A word that has the power of God in it. Yes, that will prove itself to us as the power of God and has already proved itself to some extent. May God bless us and grant us prayers that reach His throne of grace, so that we can really talk to God as a friend talks to his friend. Tell Him everything, how we feel and how we think. Just talk to Him, and He will understand us. Even the sighs and thoughts of the heart that we do not express, He will take note of them and cannot but fulfill His word, which He has given to His people for these final days. For He watches over His word to fulfill it in due time. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You from the bottom of my heart for Your precious and holy word. Lord, it is a divine seed that is placed in us. And when all flesh is as the flower of the grass and passes away, the word of God abideth forever. It is the gospel of our salvation that we have heard and listened to. Faithful Lord, may You now place the fullness of Your word in us as a seed, so that something new and divine can come forth. Lord, I thank You and praise You. Let me look to You, who have endured everything. Patiently You have gone Your way. Faithful Lord, in everything that moves me, let me think of You and look to You, so that I may not grow weary and may stand firm in faith and trust in you. Give it to my brothers. Give it to my sisters. Give it to all of us by grace. In Jesus' name, amen.